Bow with me, please. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we come before Thee tonight with thanksgiving, to praise and to honor You, to glorify You as the one true God, our Creator, our loving Father. We thank You, Father, for the study time that You've given us tonight to look deeply into Your Word, to consider the truth that You've revealed, so that we might understand how and to whom we must believe. We thank You, Father, for Your guidance in our study, for the revelation that You've given and the understanding we can share with one another. We pray, Father, that we will take the encouragement we've received tonight to believe in You and to do so unstaggeringly, that we will take that out into the world and not be shaken by anything that would come forth, but know that Your Word will abound and that we can abound in Your Word if we will follow Your truth and believe the promises You've given. We're mindful, Father, of the sacrifice and price that was paid to bring about this covenant relationship we have with You through Jesus Christ, how He hung between heaven and earth so that we might be saved from our sins as He took those upon Himself and cleansed us from unrighteousness. We believe in that, Father, in His death and His burial and His resurrection, that He lives today by Your side, ruling from heaven as the King who has saved us from our sins. We pray, Father, that You would help us to walk in the path of righteousness, to know the path that He walked, and to do those same things. And that our studies, our singing tonight, our prayers together, encourage us all to seek You first and to seek the encouragement from each other to find You and to be faithful to You. We're mindful, Father, of those who can't be with us tonight, who are hindered for various reasons, and we pray that those things might be removed, that sickness will be healed, that time will be given, that they will have interruptions removed, and those who are traveling, that they'll be able to return to us safely again according to your will. In all things, Father, though, keep our hearts and our minds close to one another as we share those things spiritually, and we are not separated by distance or time, but that we share like precious faith and treasure one another as fellow citizens of the kingdom and brothers and sisters in our Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, we pray that you be with the message as it's delivered tonight again, that the encouragement that we can receive from that will call us to righteousness, and that someone here tonight who may need to make a correction or improvement in their life will let that be known, so that we as brethren can pray for them and encourage them and edify them as we go from day to day. Father, please receive this prayer with our thanksgiving for all that you do, all that you are, all that you are in our lives, how you make us, and that we live and move and have our very being in you. We pray, Father, that you'll receive these things in our prayers through the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
When I have to explain concepts to people or kind of anything, I end up usually by trying to attempt to give it a parallel to something that they would better understand. I use the word like a lot, and that tends to be that way. It's how I personally process information in my head, and then so it's kind of how I end up having to explain it, how to use it to explain it to other people. But I do notice this parallel here is that Jesus did this many times in the form of parables. Parables were the stories used to try and explain things to people without directly just saying the words over and over, because that doesn't work for some people. I don't know if I just arrived at the same tactic because it seems to work, or if I was influenced by growing up in the faith and having seen Jesus relay the gospel through these means. But tonight I'd like you to turn to Matthew 13. That's where we'll be pretty much for the whole point. Whenever I looked at a handful of parables that Jesus had said, but it landed me on Matthew 13 as he goes over many of them. And tonight I'd like to start just read through several of them, and hopefully you will maybe gain some comfort or encouragement in the parables themselves. But I'd also like you to focus on why he uses the parables specifically with certain types of crowds. So I'll begin by reading Matthew 13, 3 through 9. I'll start again, actually. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root, and they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But others fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Parable of the seeds, we all know, is just a simple point. In the parable of the seeds, Jesus uses a simple point that many would have understood with sowing seeds. Many had either sown seeds themselves or understood the process. So it was a very intimate idea for them. And while we can decipher this, as the crowd did, Jesus did offer explanation to the disciples in the verses 18 through 23. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is which received by the wayside. And he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth, because of the word, by and by he is offended. And he also that received seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of the riches, choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. And he that received the seed into good ground is he that heareth the word, and understandeth it, which also bear fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So each part of the parable is explained here to encourage us that if we teach to someone the gospel and they don't hear it by some other means, they don't follow through with their understanding of it, then it is not exactly our fault. We have done our duty to spread the word of God. And I will say, as he explained his direct parable, he did not he did not point directly to the sower, so he didn't give the disciples all of the answers, but he did not point exactly to how the sower was acting, and that he spread seed everywhere he could, even if it was not good ground. The next, Jesus also uses the wheat and the tares, another similar farming parable about crops. So we'll read it here. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. And when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? And he said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest, and in the time of the harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. This parable is also given a direct explanation shortly after. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth, verse 37. This is after he sent the multitude away, speaking directly to the disciples. He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil, but the harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteousness shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. We grow in the ground with the tares, but when the time comes and the harvest is come together with the kingdom, the tares will be burned in the furnace, and will be gathered into the barns in heaven. And seemingly, I guess, understanding that maybe the some of the disciples didn't understand the farming one, he then also came with the parable of the net, which in fishing, which we know that several of the disciples had even more familiarity with. Verse 47. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind, which, when it was full, they drew to shore and sat down, and gather the good into vessels, but cast the bad away. So shall it be at the end of the world. The angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into the furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus essentially was making the same points with every single parable, just in a different way. By describing it in different contexts each time, he gives a direct explanation after this one, because, well, it seems like he was tired of the disciples having to ask him for a direct explanation, so he went ahead and gave it to them. And then the rest of the parables in this chapter are comparisons to the kingdom of God, and they're fairly short, so I'll read through them. 31, verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." And then 33, he has another parable. "Another parable spake he unto them, The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." And then in verse 44, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy therefore thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." 45, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchantman seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it." In 31 through 33, describes the kingdom as a small grain or leaven that eventually grows to affect the whole on a much larger scale. And then in 45 through 46, it describes the kingdom to be so precious it's worth giving up all of your other belongings to own it. So when Jesus used all these parables, he had judged the crowd to maybe not be understanding it if he were to just explain the truth over and over, or even that they might have, but it would be better for them to come to their own understanding by thinking through the lessons in all of the parables. And I know from personal experience, when someone's told something in a lecture setting, it sometimes works for them, but you can just beat it into their head with the same definition, but they won't get it. But you have to lead them to the conclusion that you need to, and they need to come to it themselves. They need to critically think and pull together what they understand to actually come to the conclusion. And obviously, you can guide them in that way, and that's why Jesus did use the parables and didn't just point at the scriptures. Excuse me. And then I did kind of skip over it, but I was coming back to it. Jesus actually did, the disciples asked Jesus why he speaks in parables, and he gives them an answer in 10 through 17. "And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower." So he goes on to explain that Jesus knows that people can see his acts and hear his words without really understanding what's going on. They need to think for themselves and come to an understanding of what they see and what they hear. And parables are like giving them a puzzle to figure it out. So it's not, obviously it's not a trick puzzle. It's not trying to mess with you, but it's there so you come to your own solution directly, having to think about it. And that ends up giving you a much greater understanding of what Jesus is actually trying to say without just saying it. As the saying goes, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And the same works with the gospel. And Jesus' parables exemplifies the need for an individual to come to their own understanding and truly understand the truth to share it with others. And then after each parable, you'll also notice that the who hath ears to hear, let him hear. He is inviting people to hear it and understand it and truly grasp the concepts that he's giving you, even though it may seem like it's a roundabout way of telling people. If you have come to your own understanding, or you need help in the walk with truth, and you are maybe confused and have questions of what you might need to understand from the gospel, we're here to help you, to guide you to your own understanding. And please come up and ask us as we stand and sing.
Let us pray. Our dearest Heavenly Father, we're so very thankful to you that you've, first of all, given your Son who died for our sins. That with our faith in you and faith in Him and faith in the salvation that we can come to our salvation. We pray that You can guide people all over the world as they study Your Word to help them to have good, clear understandings. We pray that You can help us in our daily lives. And we're thankful that we were born into this nation where we have our own sets of challenges as well as our own sets of privileges that other people don't have in other areas, that You can help us as we understand things like this to more and more find the wonderful knowledge of what we have in the way of blessings in our lives. We pray that You can help the people that are having ailments here and guide doctors and all to heal them or heal them Yourself. Be with us as we go forward in our lives and help us to continue studying and learning to be better Christians daily. It's through Your Son, Jesus, again, we pray. Amen.